Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
As we bring in the guy who is a big star in MLB TV Network, works for the Chicago Cubs, the eclectic and very interesting good friend of ours, Ryan Dempster, joins us on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, Bruce, and I appreciate the first time in my entire life I've ever been referred to as eclectic, and I love it.
Yes, yes, you
take it.
You
took
certainly
me 42 years to get there.
It's true.
Looking at, you know, Matt and I have been talking about Joe talking about the team being uptight, and he came flat out and said, you know, after a little cajoling of him yesterday, that he looked down the bench in San Diego, saw no life. Even though they won that game 4-0 on Thursday, also talked about the fact that the team is committed, they're working hard, they care, but there's no joy involved. From your experience as a baseball player for 17 years, being around the Cubs and other teams, including a championship team in Boston, what is the definition of uptight? How does that happen to an accomplished group this time of year?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think uptight or tight or playing that way or the perception of playing that way sometimes can come from, and I don't know if this is the right word, so fear, maybe. Like, fear of not getting accomplished what you want to get accomplished. And then so when you start to feel that pressure, like almost like, oh, time's slipping away here and we're not where we want to be. So then you feel the pressure because you have to win. You have to win so many games. You have to win that day, most importantly, and you have to keep winning. And, you know, for a team, you think about it, the Cubs won the World Series in 2016 and then played great again in 17. 2018, if it wasn't, 40 games in 40 days, stretched and, made it a one-game playoff, and then it didn't end the way, but still made the playoffs. Now all of a sudden that fear of, whoa, man, this might be the first time in a, this could be, not might be, this could be the first time in a while. And you start to think of those things instead of just thinking about the task at hand. And I've been on teams that have done both, where we never think about the future. We're just thinking about that day, and that's the best place you can be. And I think that's where these guys are trying to get to and just focus down the stretch. Hey, we got, 16 games left, 17 games left, just everything you got this day, today, that's all that matters. And I think yesterday was a great example of that.
You know,
down 4-0 early, could have went either way, and you win that game like that. So,
Ryan, you said it before the game, saw you in the clubhouse before the game, and you said, this is fun. This should be fun. You are in the middle of this chase. It's a dogfight. You got 16. Let's go. You function better when you have fun, right? And those guys look tight in that top half of the first, and then when they started pouring the runs on, they all looked like they were having a good time. That's healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, it is fun. And every season, no matter what, has a different path. Like, this isn't the 2016, 17, or 18 Cubs. This is 2019. And their path might be, hey, we had this great two-week stretch at the end of the season, and we got into the playoffs, whether they win the division or they play in the wild card game and they win that, and that's the direction, that path. They're all different. Every season for every team, they shape differently. And I think it is fun. This is exciting. This is a different task that you're handed from what you've had the last, previous couple years. And I think it's, you got to have fun. You got to relax. The old adage, right? Like you said, team's up 10 runs. What are they doing in the dugout? And everybody looks on TV and they show a pan of the dugout and they're like, look at them.
Yeah.
They're having so much
fun,
aren't they?
Yeah, they're squirting flowers and whoopee cushions and pies in the face. It's all
but
of that.
But Bruce, if you do that when you're losing, everyone says they don't take anything seriously.
That's true. That's a great point,
like,
Ryan.
And it's like, why? We play the best when we're loose and we're relaxed. Fact, no matter who you are, even when you're in the most stressful moment, if you're uptight and you're too tense, you're going to fail. And if you're nice and relaxed, even in those stressful moments, you're usually going to succeed, or at least put yourself in the best chance to succeed.
That's why guys like Dempster mattered on all those teams. That's why you need guys like that.
And you have to have people like that. And that's why when we hear about Ryan Dempster's on teams, or David Ross's on teams, or John Jay's on teams, in general, we don't know what that means as far as keeping people seriously together by still having fun. It's not easy because people, Ryan, can't change their personalities just to fit the situation.
No, you're right. And I think, you know, that's something that you accumulate as a player over time. Like when I came up, I probably goofed around too much and didn't know how to navigate through that. I was always trying to have too much fun. And it's like, okay, Ryan, like we got to also be serious here. And then as I got older and as it went along, I started to understand it wasn't necessarily even about me. It was about individuals on a team and how do you manage each teammate. Who's somebody, I can go to John Lester and be like, hey, dude, you got to get your stuff together.
Right.
Because this isn't going right now. Because he can handle that because that's who he is. But somebody else, you might have to be like, okay, buddy, what do we need to do here? Let me hold your hand while we cross the street.
Right.
And that's the reality, right? We're dealing with 25 different individuals, different personalities. You know, you're not just dealing with one robot that all acts the same way. And I think, you know, that's the tough part. And that's where you talked about David Ross, the Johnny Gomes, the Kevin Millars, the guys that I played with along the lines that were the same way. They knew how to push the right buttons and get the best out. They knew the people better than they knew the ball player. And I think that's a huge, huge part of that role as a teammate.
Ozzie Guillen and Joey Cora, as teammates of Frank Thomas, used to ridicule him in batting practice, make fun of him, get him extremely upset so he would go into the game and hit, get 3, 4, or 5 hits. And that was part of their routine. I mean, he would just get so upset. He says, I'll show you guys. And it worked. You know, a Hall of Fame career, obviously he was going to do pretty well without that move. But it's just to your point, Ryan, about knowing individual teammates and what makes them tick, getting the most out of them. It's, you know, that's why when you hear from great managers about valuable players on a team, it's not always about a superstar who might be the most valuable guy as far as getting the group going.
No, I always said, man, hey, listen, it takes more than 25 guys because you got call-ups and people up and down all year. But if you're thinking the 25th guy on your roster comes down to what his, you know, WOBA is, or you know, what his his WAR is, or his OPS is, that's going to lead you to where you need to be. I truly believe, I think you're sadly mistaken. I think that 25th guy is somebody, you know, that really, you know, means a lot more to the team. You know, a guy like in San Francisco, a guy named Stephen Vogt. Craig Counsell last year told me Stephen Vogt was one of his best players on his team, and he didn't play. He was hurt. So that's because he was a guy that every day came in and made the team better just through his personality and through what he did for the guys mentally, because it's this game is so much mental.
Ryan, Joe Maddon talked about infiltrating the group a little bit yesterday, and seeing some guys that were uptight, and so he decided to try and get in there and talk to folks. I loved hearing about that because it seems like managers need some other tools in the toolbox sometimes, right? It's like Joe is wonderfully calm and delegates extremely well, lets the players run the room. But every once in a while, you might not need to get in there and poke the bear. And it sounds like he has taken the opportunity to do so a little bit.
Yeah, I think I completely agree with you. I was talking to Will Venable about it yesterday, like just about managing and how hard it is, because you're not managing just the game. Managing the game is the easy part, the X's and O's and where do I go here and what do I do with this. It's managing the people that sometimes is the tough part, because you do deal with, you know, for the most part, you got 25 alpha males in there and you got a lot of different personalities, and to be able to do that, and when's the right time, and you know, you don't want to be the dad that yells all the time, right? Because then it doesn't carry any weight. And
right.
At the same time, you know, you gotta make sure you don't give too long of a leash. And when is it too late? Is it not too late? It's a really, really tough task. I tell you, Joe's done an unbelievable job, you know, his entire career managing and being who he is, and he really has a sense of the pulse and trying to figure those. I remember Jim Leland when I was with the Florida Marlins. He won the World Series in 1997, and then our 1998 team stunk so bad we lost 108 games or 106 games, I think it was, something like that. And he didn't get mad at us at all, not once. And we just lost and lost and lost and lost. This poor man got a parade, and 6 months later, he's, you know, we're 40 games out of first place. And finally, in August, down in the Astrodome, he let us have it. And it wasn't about us losing. It was about us respecting the game when we did lose and having respect for that. And he yelled at us for a while and a long time. And then it carried weight. And not only that, he taught a bunch of guys who weren't big leaguers yet about what it was going to be a big leaguer, what it would take. And we had guys on that list of that team. If you look at our 1980 team, amount of guys that played 10 years in the big leagues. And I truly believe to this day it was because of that meeting he had post-game and let us know, and it put us all in our place. And I think it's really important by a manager to be able to manage the people as it is as much the player.
September 28th in Boston, what's going on with you?
Yeah, we're doing hosting another off the mound like we did this past July at the Park West. So we're taking it kind of on the road a little bit, and we're going to host it at the Paramount Center there in Boston. Benefiting the foundation to be aimed later. And more importantly, there's an at-risk teen center there in Boston that has a bunch of great programs, and we use the money to help fund some of those programs. So we got a great list of guests again. We got Mike O'Malley, actor, writer, producer from Boston, huge sports fan out there. And then Johnny Gomes, my teammate with the 13 World Series, and the great Hall of Famer Pedro Martinez. We'll be there, wow. And other guests too. So I'm pretty excited.
I know one guy sitting next to me would like to be there.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. that's awesome, Ryan. I got to share this with you. So Ron Coomer sang the stretch yesterday in front of me as I was doing pregame and postgame, and he asked me later, "How did I sound? Hey, Mr. Singer, how did I sound doing it?" And you know what I told him, Ryan? I said, "Coom, you were up there and you were doing it." Man,
that's one way of saying you suck.
He can flat sing, man. That's right.
He can flat sing all flat.
You did a show tonight. People were there, man. It was a thing.
Ryan, thanks for joining us, buddy.
The old Mitch Hedberg line. You know, you can't please all the people all the time. And last night, all those people were at my show.
Right, right. Or the other one. I wish I could tell you. I just can't tell you how good that was. I just can't tell you.
Ryan, have a great day. Thanks for joining us. Keep up the great work on MLB TV with the Cubs and all the good things that you do around Chicago and the country. Appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Bruce, Matt. Thanks, guys, man, and go Cubs. Let's get them done.
All right, see ya. Ryan Dempster here on Inside the Clubhouse. Such a unique and fun-loving and in-depth guy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.